Will you please stand and join me in our call to worship? The Lord speaks, and nature springs to life. The Lord speaks, and prophets denounce injustice. The Lord speaks, and people perform acts of grace.
We thank you, O Lord, for your gift and grace.
Let us thank God for all creatures here below. Let us thank God from whom all blessings flow.
Please, in praying the prayer of invocation that's printed in your bulletin, praying together. Gracious God, you are present in all times and places. Capture our attention in this time and place. Open our eyes to see the wonders you provide. Open our ears to hear your commandments, your ordinances, and your statutes. Open our hearts to care deeply about people in need. Whatever that need might be, awaken our generosity and sense of justice that we may be inspired to helpful actions. Open our mouths to shout and sing for joy, sharing the good news of salvation. Amen.
Please be seated.
I invite you now to join in the singing of the Psalter. We will be singing Psalm 100, as found on the insert in your bulletin. The choir will sing the words that you see in print, and we will ask you to join in on the refrain. And it is a familiar tune. It is the old Shaker tune, Simple Gifts. Joyce will begin by playing the refrain now.
Yeah.
The gospel lesson for this evening is found in the gospel according to John. Begin reading with the 25th verse of the 6th chapter. Let's stand together as we honor the gospel lesson. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you're not looking for me because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we live in a land rich in harvest. We choose our clothes for many changes. We live in well-built, comfortable houses.
Yet multitudes have no place to call home.
We have books we have never opened.
Yet multitudes have no books to read.
We have work that feeds mind and body.
Yet multitudes have jobs that feed neither.
Lord, unlike millions of your people, we have been given much.
Let us remember that for those to whom much is given, much shall be expected.
Let us pray. Holy God, on this night as we come here to experience a little bit of heaven, the time when we shall gather together not because of our denominational affiliation, but because of our dedication and because of our commitment to Jesus Christ. And even though this moment is way too fleeting and happens too infrequently, we come to you tonight and we repent for those walls that have divided us and separated us. And tonight we come with joyful thanksgiving in our hearts. Excitement of being with family and friends and loved ones. And for those who are not able to be with us tonight because of commitment and distance, we pray, O God, for your traveling mercies to rest upon them, to keep them safe from harm, and so that they will arrive at their destination to be with loved ones. Holy God, we pray for our world, and as already been mentioned, for those who are in the midst of hunger, in the midst of pain. And even again, as our world hears the rattling of sabers in war, we come to you, the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords, and pray to you, dear God, help us. For sometimes we are so weak and frail, we can't help ourselves. We thank you this day, Almighty God, for the privilege to give in our offering to help others. We thank you again for the blessings of this great land, for the churches that we have where we can worship, for those who sing and for those who lead in worship, for those who fill our pews, for so many wonderful things that you have blessed us with. And we surrender these to you and pray together as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen.
Good evening. Our Old Testament lesson for this evening is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 through 14, and I do encourage you to pick up a pew Bible and follow along from the book of Isaiah. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, And if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Together. Our Father, we do thank you so much for your presence with us in this place, and that you are enthroned above us, Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Open our hearts to you, Lord, to receive your word this evening, that we might be encouraged in our salvation and strengthened, Lord, in your service. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, it is such an honor to be with you this evening, to worship the Lord with you in this beautiful place. And I do thank Larry and Pastor Terry as well for the invitation to speak and be with you tonight. And we also commend each of you for being here. We know it's a busy evening getting ready for the festivities tomorrow, so we know the Lord will bless you for worshiping him this evening. A number of years ago, I had an old car, and I have to admit that it was a Honda Civic, and I had a lot of problems with it. I had lived in Chicago, and so it had gone through several winters and had the joys of all the salt and the rust that that used to produce in cars. I don't know if it still does since I live down here. And after a few years, I had to continually keep taking it to the garage. And it went through like a fender bender one time and had to go to the body shop, and then it kept breaking down and kept returning to the garage. And I noticed that after a while, that when I would go to pick it up after I'd paid the bill, there was just this feeling of disappointment when the same old car would be rolled out, and that was what I had to drive away. I just found that I did not have a really high value for old things. But our God is very different. He is the ultimate rebuilder, renewer, redeemer, reviver. He loves old things, old people, even broken hearts. He is truly the God of second chances. He loves taking old, dirty hearts and making them totally new. He loves taking broken lives and healing them and filling them with love and hope. And he loves transforming people and making someone reassured that the old has passed away and the new has come. His love never fails, and he never gives up on his people. As we come to the Thanksgiving 2010 and we look at this passage in Isaiah, which might seem kind of a surprising text to think about before Thanksgiving, I'd like us to think tonight about the answers to three questions. First of all, what does our Lord want to give you this year at this particular Thanksgiving? And as we begin that race up until Christmas, what does he have for you this year? And secondly, if he has so much for us, why are we so often not receiving it or experiencing it? And then the third question is, what is the job that he has for us this year? Well, first of all, what does our God want to give you? And if you look back at Isaiah 58, I hope you still have it open, you see there's just one thing after another, promise after promise after promise. He wants to bring light into our darkness. He wants to give us healing, and he wants to give it fast, quick healing. He wants to strengthen our frame, our bones, and some of us might feel like our bones really need some strengthening. He wants to fill our lives with his presence. And in verse 9, it talks about he wants to answer your prayers. When you call, he wants to answer you and tell you, here I am, I'm listening to you. In verse 8, he reminds us that he wants to be all around us, going ahead of us with his righteousness that he's going to give to us. And behind us as well, no place that we can't be that we're not surrounded by him and his presence. He wants to give us guidance. Are there some situations that we just don't have the answers to? So many confusing things in our world, going faster and faster, seeming more and more complicated. Well, in verse 11, he assures us he wants to guide us always. And then he wants to satisfy our needs in a sun-scorched land, make us like a well-watered, beautiful garden. Picture it in these November days. Think back to the summer, some of you who were wonderful gardeners, to the beautiful flowers and the lushness when actually everything is watered. That's what he wants your life to look like, fruitful, a fruitful garden. A garden that, he says, like a spring of water, where the waters never fail, never run out, plenty, all you need for you and to pass on to others. And then in verse 14 at the end, he says he wants to fill your life with joy, the joy of the Lord, laughter. He's the one who fills our mouths with laughter, and the laughter that comes around the Thanksgiving table is a gift from him. He wants lots of it, the fun to come back into your life. And then most of all, as we're reminded from the passage in John 6, the Lord wants to give us the bread of life. None other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can make us never hungry again, never thirsty again, totally satisfied because he is the rock of our lives, our salvation. Well, if our Lord has all of that for us, why so often do we drag through our days and we don't experience it? And why do we wonder if we're going to experience it again this year? Well, the passage also reminds us that so often we don't experience that because we're doing it wrong. There was a movie a number of years ago called Mr. Mom. Maybe some of you saw it. It's about where the husband lost his job in a recession, so the wife went back to work, and the dad took over at home with the kids. And the first time he drives them to school, it's raining, and he's dropping a child off at kindergarten. And he notices he's kind of heading against the traffic going into the school, but he just keeps on, you know, he's a man, he's not going to ask directions. And the kid starts saying to him, "Dad, you're doing it wrong." And he just keeps going, and finally he gets up to the front, and sure enough, the volunteer who's there says, "You're doing it wrong. You're supposed to go in this way, you come in this door, and then you go drive out that way." Well, sometimes in our lives, we're doing it wrong. And this is what the writer is telling the Israelites. They thought they were doing everything that they could. They were even fasting. They were serious about their faith. They were praying and calling upon God, asking His direction. What else could they do? They were going through all the external things. They were worshiping God, yet they felt like their prayers were not being answered. They felt far from God. They'd lost so much. And the prophet is reminding them that what the Lord really wanted was true religion, religion of the heart. And as we were reminded in John, the biggest work that we can do is to trust Jesus Christ, is what he says. That's better than anything else that you can do. And what the prophet says is, if you do that, if you have the heart right, the rest is going to change. Your relationships with other people will be different. And he's calling the people to account, saying, you can't fast and then the same day go out and start fighting with people if your life is full of strife and bitterness, if you're not even noticing the homeless, and if you're not freeing the oppressed. Something's wrong. Your relationships have got to change. If the heart is right with God, if your heart is full of love for God, that's going to affect the people all around you, even the strangers who you're going to help, even the homeless. And so he's telling them, you're doing it wrong, and it's got to change for you to experience all that God wants for you. You got to get the heart right. And so our Lord has a different plan for us. He doesn't want us to spend our lives in pointing the finger, as the prophet talks about gossiping, but instead to encourage and build up others and to pour ourselves out for the hungry and those in need for the Lord's sake, because he loves them so much. So we come to our third question then. If we've already talked about the other questions, and then we come to, what is the job that God has for us? What difference can we possibly make in this world just filled with need? And the biggest thing I want to mention to us this morning is verse 12. There's so many different things he mentions, but this one especially caught my eye as we think about our God who loves old things. In verse 12 it says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Jerusalem at one point became a ruin. They were destroyed by their enemies, the people of God, the people who had inherited all those promises, yet their land was invaded, and the people were exiled, and they lost everything, and they were a disgrace, and there were so many things that they didn't understand. And yet Isaiah is promising them this incredible future, that they're going to rebuild, and Jerusalem's going to be raised up again, and the walls would be restored, and the foundations would come back, and they would build on those foundations. And that's part of how they would know that God still had a future and a hope for them, was they'd have their land back, and they would rebuild, and it would be part of their healing. Well, this is God's work. He is, as we said, he is the God of second chances. There was a second chance for them, and there's a third chance and a fourth chance, and he has it for us as well. Many foundations in our nation have been destroyed. And maybe we feel like, well, I didn't do it. I didn't cause it. And yet the Lord gives us the chance to help rebuild some of those things. We see families broken apart. We see so many things that made sense before that are no longer there. And the Lord is calling us to be involved in this good work of rebuilding, restoring the foundations. What are the foundations? What are the most important things in our lives? Well, if you look at what's going to happen between now and Christmas, you might think it's shopping, or maybe for some some of us might seem like it sometimes is money, or sometimes it might be television or football or technology. And yet we know that these aren't the most important things. What is the Lord really calling us back to? What are the foundations? The things that the Scripture tells us will never pass away. The Word of God, our salvation, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the one who truly satisfies more than any trip to the mall, the Lord's love which endures forever, our marriages, our families, they won't maybe last in the same way past this lifetime, but the Lord is the one who's instituted them in our lives, in our world. He gave us the gift of marriage. He gave us our families. They're for Him. He wants us to pour ourselves out into building them. So many things that we can be involved in that we can rebuild. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to think about doing that. Thanksgiving, that holiday of remembering, of thinking and rejoicing and celebrating and feasting and thanking God as we remember the blessings of the past year and the past. That wonderful holiday of celebrating our country's foundations, the Pilgrims, remember them? And that first Thanksgiving where they thanked God for bringing them through and giving them a harvest, even when they lost 50% of the people who came over with them. And then the Thanksgiving that was instituted in the Civil War by, or I should say, what is the other name for it? I'm saying the wrong name down here. But that, again, Abraham Lincoln asked that to be celebrated, and it was celebrated every year after that to again remember the God who's blessed our lives and brought us through that time and made us a nation again. And then it's been revisited in the 20th century, and it became like the fourth Thursday of November. This time to remember God has been good to us. That's part of our foundations, our foundation of God in our nation. And so this season, remember the wonderful work that God has called you to as you celebrate Thanksgiving, whether it's with 20 people or one, knowing that God is with you in your household, that He's calling us back to the basics and back to the true foundations and back to the bread of life. And there are words that you can share with someone, words of encouragement that might build them up and make all the difference in their lives. And ways that you can affect the marriages around you, young people maybe who might be discouraged, but you could support and pray for and strengthen that marriage. And other deeds that you can do for the homeless and for others in need from these days forward that can make all the difference. Going back to remembering kindness and gentleness and patience and forgiveness, all that come from our God. Going back to our Lord these holidays. Isaiah is telling us, roll up your sleeves. There's work to be done, and it's a good work, and it's a work from our God, the living God. Thanks be to Him this Thanksgiving and always.
Thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to come tonight on behalf of Piedmont Agency on Aging. I am on the staff of Piedmont Agency on Aging. I'm the Director of Resource Development. We were founded back in 1971, and we are the main service provider for Greenwood and Abbeville counties for senior services. Some of the things that we do Meals on Wheels, transportation services, congregate meal programs, and we also house the first intergenerational daycare in South Carolina. Our main mission, though, at the agency is to provide services for seniors to help them to remain independent and at home for longer, which means Meals on Wheels pretty much is our main mission at the agency. We have, just in Greenwood, about 20 routes that go out, hot meal routes, each day. We need volunteers for those routes, so that's 5 days a week. So volunteers are pretty much our lifeline at the agency also. We are also the only facility, or one of the few facilities in South Carolina, that have our own nutrition center where we prepare our own meals, and that would be over 600 meals go out of that kitchen each day for both of these counties. Tomorrow, we will probably have about 120 meals go out for seniors in our area who do not have family to spend Thanksgiving with. So that's just something for us to even be more thankful for, to think about the family that we have. We have recently suffered $100,000 worth of cutbacks at the agency. So our staff has been impacted. We're trying our best not to make any of the seniors be impacted. But just know that this offering that y'all are giving tonight is coming at a very wonderful time for us. And on behalf of the staff at Piedmont Agency on Aging and the hungry seniors in Greenwood and Abbeville counties, I just want to say thank y'all very much. Thank you for having me here.
water, for all the blessings of the land you have given us, for family and friends who enrich our lives. Our hearts overflow with thanksgiving to you, O God. We have been sheltered and educated and empowered by your generosity. In Jesus Christ, we have been shown a way to the wholeness you intend for us. Receive these offerings as a joyous expression of our gratitude. Amen.
To present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.